Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
First night of the NBA play-in in the books. It is Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, RVs, for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
I've gone down the rabbit hole of trying to find City Connect jerseys in Major League Baseball that I actually like.
See, here's the problem. I think there's a lot of fake ones on the internet, and I've been looking at them, and I don't know that they're all real. That's the thing.
That's a problem.
The one I just saw for the Cardinals was a mock-up. They haven't had theirs revealed yet, but friend of the show, kind of, because I think he has a beef with Pat Costello, but friend in life, my former co-host Randy Carricker just texted me and said that he knows that the City Connect jersey in St. Louis will look a little bit more traditional.
Okay.
Good. All right. Good.
Yeah, traditional, not boring. The Kansas City Royals City Connect uniform is not bad, though. But who cares about the Kansas City Royals outside of Missouri?
Well, they're not going to invite you to throw an opening day first pitch anytime soon.
That's all right. They do have pretty cool ballpark eats, though. I will give them that credit.
Oh, the best.
They also got Mahomes.
The best ballpark eats.
I'm talking about the baseball team. Oh, yeah, I guess he's
the he owns
he's
the team.
Yeah, I guess that.
I just got a text also from someone that said the Padres one is really cool. The Padres City
Connect? Oh, it is not. Confirmed it's not.
It's not?
No,
it's not. Oh, maybe the person was joking with me then? I don't know.
No, it's not.
It's not cool. No. Okay. All right. Not a cool night for the Warriors last night. That's a horrible transition. and they lost the Sacramento Kings 118-94. They are eliminated. Sacramento gets 32 from Keegan Murray. And Sacramento going from in the playoffs to the play-in to having to play the Warriors, which obviously uphill battle, now getting to play the Pelicans because the Lakers, to their credit, advanced to face the Nuggets. The Pelicans could face the Kings on Friday night without Zion, who gets hurt, unfortunately. Brian Windhorst came in with us earlier and called it a basketball tragedy for Zion to have the single best game of his career, 40 points in a play-in game, and get hurt. Well, now the Kings are looking at potentially a first-round matchup with Oklahoma City if they're the eighth seed, but the Warriors go home. They go home with 0 points from Klay Thompson in his final game of the season. 0-10, 0-6 from behind the arc. Just an awful end for the Warriors last night, and now the question becomes as to whether or not it is the last night of the Warriors dynasty, not to rip off Buster Olney's book about the Yankees, the last night of the Yankees dynasty, but do we think last night was the last night?
Well, yeah, I think it was the last night. I mean, if you're going to try to put Steph Curry in position to compete for a championship, it should be the last night that the big three plays in a Warriors uniform together. But based on what we got from Brian Windhorst in our 7 o'clock hour, it doesn't sound like that's going to be the stance that Golden State takes. It sounds like they're going to do what it takes to try to re-sign this guy. Now, if you're talking about bringing Klay Thompson back for around 20-ish million dollars a year, that's a different conversation.
Well, let's go there. 2 years, $44 million all in. Would you sign him if you're the Warriors?
Yes.
2 years, $50 million. Would you sign him?
Probably not.
So what your max, let's call your max 45. His low, he's not going to sign for less than 40 because somebody will give him. So it's 2 years between 40 and 45. Would you sign him to a third year or no? If I got you down to $20 million a year, would you sign him three for 60?
If that's what it takes. But the thought is to try to retool this roster around Steph Curry, doing everything that it takes in order to put Steph Curry closer to the championship. Because as constituted, they're not close. Like, we got to think about where the Western Conference is right now. The Western Conference had 10 teams that finished the season 10 games over 500 or better. Think about it. That's not including the San Antonio Spurs with Wimby. That's not including the Houston Rockets with Jalen Green. That's not including the Memphis Grizzlies once they get back Ja Morant. Like, it's only up from here with that conference. So if you're the Golden State Warriors with all of these guys aging out of their primes, you have to get serious about continuing to put pieces around Steph that is going to allow him to do what he does best and display his greatness on the biggest stage that the sport has to offer, which is in the postseason. And they haven't been able to do that consistently of late. You're talking about two of the last 4 years, they're being on the outside looking into the postseason. Why? That should not be the case with somebody that's still playing at such a high level like Steph Curry. I get it. You know, we shouldn't panic. We shouldn't, you know, make bombastic statements after a disappointing ending to their season. But the reality is they're not in the playoffs. It is a failure when you have Steph Curry, the greatest shooter that God ever made, a top 10 player in the history of the sport that can still do it at a high level, being on the outside looking into the postseason.
This is such a curious case, though, because I don't know if there is an obvious answer as to what to do if you break up this core. What is the answer in order to put Steph in that position? I'm a little bit more inclined to keep the band together and run it back. Klay Thompson was coming off the best stretch of basketball of the year, as he said. I know he certainly didn't show up last night, but during the last 4.5 weeks of the regular season, he was second on the team in scoring. He was averaging 21.2 points on 48.1% of field goal shooting. He had been playing really well heading into this. And I keep wondering if Draymond Green didn't have self-inflicted lack of availability for this team, would they have been in a better position? Would they have been in a situation where they had already punched their ticket to the playoffs? And while I know that it's unlikely that the team will move on from Draymond, if they move on from someone, it's likely Clay. I kind of am listening to what Brian Windhorst told us a couple segments ago, where he says he thinks that they're going to bring everybody back and have one last ride here.
So let me ask you a follow-up on that, Smalls. Let's play out as if Draymond never got suspended, never got in trouble this year at all, which is obviously a massive hypothetical.
Sure.
How many more wins do you think they would have had this year, roughly?
Oof. That's really tough to say.
Like two, Evan, or three, let's say?
At least, yeah.
Okay, so that would, they probably would have been the 5 or the 6 seed if Draymond does not do what Draymond does. That puts them in a, let's just say they're the 6 seed. They would play against Minnesota in the first round in a 7-game series. That is not an easy matchup. And I think where this gets a little tricky with the Warriors is if you just say that all 10 teams that made the playoffs this year in the West are automatically, and this doesn't always happen this way, but are automatically going to be playoff contenders next year. You add Houston, so that's 11. You add Memphis, that's 12. And you add San Antonio, that's 13. That's 13 teams that, as we sit here today, are looking at next year saying, oh yeah, we have a shot. So how do the Warriors get better? Windy is telling us they get better by their young players developing, led by Jonathan Kuminga. Can those guys develop enough at high enough of a level around Steph where Klay and Draymond become complementary pieces to get them out of the play-in? I love Steph. I love Draymond. I love Klay. I don't know that they get out of the play-in next year in that hypothetical scenario, which is why it leads both of you to go to a place that I'm not ready to go to, which is you got to break this thing up. Because you're going to run it back and you're still going to find yourself in that 7 to 10 spot. Because, I mean, the leap that Kuminga can make, how great is it to put them in the playoff versus to play in?
And he's only going to get more expensive from here.
Right. And that means you're going to lose other guys that are helping you right now. So that's where it gets very tricky. I'm glad we haven't yet, and I guess I'm about to, gotten to the conversation of do they ever think about moving Steph and restarting everything, which they should not do. They will never do unless he comes to them. I don't believe he would ever come to them and ask for that. But it could get to a point where he's in the play-in every single year. You're thinking about it now. I could see you. Go ahead.
No, I just wonder, is Steph Curry content with being in this position? Constantly being in the play-in, not having an opportunity to be a top 6 seed, being a team that has a chance to make some noise, but not a real chance to get to the conference finals or better. Is Steph
and not
Curry,
able to pace himself.
Is Steph Curry content with that?
And he can't pace himself. He can't be like, oh, I'm going to sit out a game here and there because they can't win without him.
No, no. They cannot. Can't do it. They can't do it out. And just in terms of how he changes the game, how he spaces the floor, all of those different things. Like, he is the offense, right?
Yep.
So I don't know that Steph Curry is content with that. I mean, we are talking about somebody that is hyper-competitive, a top 10 player in the history of the sport, with a chance to continue to improve on his legacy based on how he's playing.
So you ask a great question. Let's talk about what that means if Steph Curry's not content with that. To me, that means him going to the majority governor, Joe Lacob, and saying, I get you want to save in the luxury tax, and I get Chris Paul is not going to be on this team next year, but you're not waiving him. You're trading him because I need $30 million worth of players coming back to help me here, right? No, I'm not okay with you just saying, you say we're light years ahead of everybody else. I'm the one, I'm talking as if I'm Steph Curry, I'm the one that built this building. You're not building this building without me.
No.
The Warriors are not the hottest team for young kids anywhere without me. So I'm asking you to pay the extra money in the luxury tax, and I'm asking you not to waive Chris Paul with a non-guaranteed contract. I'm asking you to pick up that dollar figure and trade him for $30 million worth of players that are going to come my way. That is not being content. That's where you could have the strife between governor and player. Because Wendy told us they're just going to waive him to save money. Steph should not accept them saving money. Why would he?
No.
Why should he?
No, I mean, that can bring back two quality starters for him, two guys that can be role players.
Hell yeah.
And it's an expiring deal for Chris Paul, so maybe there's some value to it. But I don't know, if you're another team, can you really take on that kind of salary?
But don't worry about that as much as, like, yeah, somebody would take that on. The point that I'm making is, when you're saying, is Steph Curry going to be content with this? If that looks like we're signing Klay 3 years, $60 million, Draymond's coming back, we're letting him, Chris Paul, walk, and we're going to flip Andrew Wiggins for the equivalent of Andrew Wiggins somewhere else. Why, to your question, the answer would be no, Steph Curry should not be content with that. He needs more pieces around him. Better pieces around.
No, I don't think Steph Curry will be content with that, though. I do think he's going to apply pressure on ownership, because everybody acknowledges, hey, this is going to have to be about trying to put him in position to win a chip. And Steph shouldn't settle for less based on the standard that he's helped establish over the last decade and a half. That's supposed to be what the Warriors are all about, competing for championships. But it's kind of hard to do that when you're not in the playoffs two of the last 4 years. So, I mean, I guess the point is, with those guys getting older and dealing with the realities of aging stars, with availability, with injury, not to mention the behavioral issues, the discipline that Draymond has faced over the last several seasons, you're going to have to add more pieces. And that's why I was so adamant about Klay Thompson not being a part of whatever you're going to do moving forward. If you're telling me that Klay is coming back at a below market deal at $20 million a year, okay.
Yeah.
You can make that make sense. If you're telling me Klay Thompson wants $30 million a year or plus, and something that's in the 3 or 4 year range, probably too rich for them.
Yep.
That's not going to happen. So I guess my whole point is, you can't bring back Klay Thompson and sacrifice putting a team that's capable of competing for a championship around Steph. If there's a world where you can do both, great. I just don't see that world sitting here today.
As a former athlete like you are, that played 11 years in the NFL, okay, if you were Steph Curry, understanding the way that athletes operate, and that there are times where they're not going to make that phone call to the higher-ups because they don't want blood on their hands, right? They don't want to be involved in that.
Most athletes can't make that phone call, let's be honest.
Can't.
Yeah,
most athletes but he can't. But he can't.
Good point. Okay, so let's say two things happen. Let's say he gets what he wants in terms of his personal preference, which are his brothers back, Klay and Draymond. He wants those are his guys. Mm-hmm. But then he's not content. Are you making the call to Joe Lacob and saying, I know that Chris is not going to be on the Paul is not going to be on the team this year. You must trade him. You must get me pieces. Are you making that call? Are we going to see a Woj report that says Chris Paul has been traded to blank, and that the background is Steph Curry understood he was going to be gone and demanded the Warriors get pieces?
That'll never be the background. That'll never be the footnote behind that, because they won't allow it to be.
Would you do it if you're Steph?
Yes. Yes.
I don't want to hear about your luxury tax.
Yes. Yes.
That's where, if you're looking for a potential divide in the Warriors, that's where it is right there. Go ahead, Smalls.
I would do it if I was Steph, too. And the Warriors, I think, owe it to him to listen to him and do whatever they can to maximize the rest of his career. We see so many instances in sports where these superstars demand things and the team builds around them. Giannis gets what he wants in Milwaukee in a different sport, but Aaron Rodgers gets what he wants with the Jets. If any franchise owes it to their star player to listen to him, it's the Warriors and Steph Curry.
Go ahead.
I was just sitting there thinking about it. And I know that this is the remotest of possibilities. It's far-fetched. It's not likely. But there is a case to be made that no matter what the Golden State Warriors do, they're probably not going to compete for championships anymore. Is there a world where the organization takes it out of Steph's hands? They take it out of Klay's hands? They take it out of Draymond's hands?
I am going to make a guesstimation as to one of the reasons that Bob Myers gets a paycheck the same way we get a paycheck is because he didn't want to have to make that decision.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not because he's not capable of it, the former Warriors executive who works with us here at ESPN, but because he is such a good guy that he's like, I can't be the one that trades those three.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah, but the best way to actually reboot this thing and stay competitive if you're Golden State is to do exactly that.
I would never trade Steph Curry.
I understand what you're saying. Listen, I understand it. I know it doesn't feel good, but there is never a good time to move off of stars that have helped you win multiple championships, and especially when we're talking about a star that's a top 10 player in the history of the sport. The Lakers didn't do it, and guess what? They went through a decade's worth of futility in the post-Kobe Bryant era of Lakers basketball. Like, that's what you're signing up for by keeping the big three together and hanging on to Steph Curry while he is still one of the best players in the entire sport.
We're Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Big story dropped today, ESPN.com. Don Vannata, Seth Wickersham, Jeremy Fowler. A story about Bill Belichick and why he is not coaching in the NFL this year based on some of the background given to the phenomenal reporters we have here at ESPN about the process in which Belichick went about trying to get the Atlanta job and other jobs as well. Voted off the island inside Bill Belichick's failed offseason job hunt. So some of the stories that are in here, some of the bullet points that are in here, because we obviously just dropped when we were on. So here we go. Belichick thought he would be the coach of the Atlanta Falcons after two interviews, sources told ESPN. That owner Arthur Blank and his top lieutenants ranked the candidates for the team's head coaching job after interviews. And Belichick wasn't in anyone's top three. So let's go one by one on this. How is that possible? How could Bill Belichick... All right, he doesn't get the job. Raheem, and I hate that this could become a referendum on Raheem Morris. It has nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
But how can Belichick not be in your top three of candidates for a head coaching job in the NFL? How is that possible?
It doesn't make sense. I mean, I guess the only way it would be logical or you could rationalize it is age, because he's in his early 70s.
You knew how old he was when you interviewed him.
Good point.
It's not like you, like, you know, there are some things
but think about how much smoke they would catch if they didn't interview him, though, knowing that he was available, yeah. The greatest coach of all time. So sometimes these organizations do things for optics, and I'm not saying that's a good reason. I'm just saying that's how they operate. But, yeah, I don't get how he's not a part of your top three when making a decision, and also knowing that the franchise is poised to make win-now moves this offseason. The Kirk Cousins thing, that's not just something that happened the first day of free agency. They knew they were going down this road as soon as the season ended. So if you know that you're going to make this type of decision, if you're Rich McKay, their team president, if you're their general manager, Terry Fontenot, like, if you know you're going down that road, then why wouldn't you bring in somebody like Bill Belichick? It just seems like you would try to capitalize on it. But this window that you've created for yourself by being able to throw money at the problem that is finding a franchise quarterback.
I kind of understand it. I mean, he turned 72 years old yesterday. Evan, I'm surprised you didn't want to do a Bill Belichick-themed birthday show yesterday.
Yeah,
I
mention to my wife that yesterday was Belichick's birthday and the day that Brady was drafted. Now, she's not interested in either of those two facts, but that conversation did come up at home last night. So
yeah,
very private for me, Smalls.
Okay,
how dare you?
I'm sorry. I'm just surprised you missed it publicly. That's all.
Yeah,
missed that opportunity.
My bad.
But he turned 72 years old yesterday, and this is someone that is going to come in, and it's not going to be collaborative with whatever team brings him in. He's going to do it his way. There's going to be a complete overhaul. And if you're a team that's looking for your next coach for longer than potentially 2 to 3 years, I can understand why you wouldn't want to take that risk.
I know, Nuno, you want me to get through all this stuff and read this to everybody. This is going to drive me insane. So you don't want to overhaul your building that put you in a spot where you need a head coach in the first place? Oh, my God. All right,
But Evan, the last couple years with the Patriots did not look great. I know the resume is unmatched, but you also have to take into account recency. You have to take into account the last couple years in New England.
All right, so the next two. Several Falcons executives viewed Belichick as an older, stoic coach who'd blow up the building and wouldn't likely stay beyond 2 years after he sets the all-time win record, a source told ESPN. That's number one. Number two, this is an interesting one. Philadelphia also considered hiring Belichick after the season, but decided to stick with Nick Sirianni in part because, as they wrote, was it worth it overhauling the building, changing personnel and philosophies on everything from training staff to salary cap structure for someone who might coach only 2 years, end quote. Because Philadelphia's culture and structure worked really well at the end of last year.
You could make an argument that it didn't work at all last year.
Right.
I mean, basically, Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator, and Jonathan Gannon, the defensive coordinator, are probably the ones getting more credit for that Super Bowl run that they made in 2022 than Nick Sirianni. I get it. That's hindsight. But just think about what that team was at the end of that year, last year. It was awful. They lost six of their final seven. And it was unceremonious in terms of how they were ousted from the playoffs. So there's no debate on whether or not Belichick was a better coach than Nick Sirianni. And do you really care about the long term if your window is trying to win a championship while Jalen Hurts' contract cap hit is relatively low?
Yeah, I agree. It's well said.
Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, that
you're a win-now team anyway.
The math doesn't math.
All right, here's another one.
Yeah, real quick. Yeah. That one I don't really understand, because if you're not sold on Nick Sirianni so much so that you're considering bringing in Bill Belichick, the fact that you elected to bring back Sirianni, even though you're obviously not sold on him, I think is a bad move.
One source close to Belichick told ESPN that the Patriots owner Robert Kraft was a big part of why the Falcons passed on hiring him. A second Patriots source insisted Kraft was supportive of Belichick but acknowledged there was some candor. Spokesman for Kraft and Blank strongly denied that Kraft said anything disparaging about Belichick during the owner's two phone calls last January. That's an interesting one, because obviously the first person you're going to call as a reference for Belichick is Robert Kraft. What does Kraft say about him? And I guess the Belichick camp, per the reporting, thinks that it wasn't necessarily a ringing endorsement.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the reality is that Bill Belichick is still a really good coach, but he's going to ruffle some feathers when it comes to how he's going to go about his business. It's not going to be comfortable, but winning a championship is uncomfortable. You have to be uncomfortable. You're going to go through some adversity, and it's what your leadership and your coach provides that is going to determine whether or not you're going to come out on that other side of the adversity for the better of it. And I can say this, if you have the pieces in place, then you feel pretty good about Bill Belichick's ability to get that team there from a scheme standpoint, from an X's and O's standpoint, from a game management standpoint. The undoing of Belichick in New England, it wasn't his coaching. It was his personnel decision-making. It was him, the general manager, undermining him, the head coach. Now, I guess the one coaching gaffe that he had was allowing Matt Patricia to be the offensive coordinator for Mac Jones in year two. But come to find out that Mac Jones can't really play anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know how consequential that was, but I mean, that's the only thing that you can point to and you say, yeah, maybe it might not have been the best in terms of what the last several years have looked like. But there is no debate. If you have the players that are capable of competing at a championship level, then Bill Belichick can maximize what he's going to get out of those guys and put your team in position to compete for a title.
One final thing here quickly on this. From the Belichick story, ESPN.com, CC specifically, you're going to like this one, because this is one that you were saying as to why you did not think Jim Harbaugh was going to leave Michigan for the Chargers. Dallas, Washington, Carolina, Tennessee, and Vegas were also considered a possible landing location for Belichick, but none were close to hiring him. Belichick wasn't interested in the Chargers opening. That's interesting. I'm not saying he would have gotten it. I think they wanted Harbaugh all along. But even with the quarterback, he wasn't interested in the Chargers opening. One of the things that, I mean, Smalls has said, they are the definition of meh, right? And you have said that's not a job you'd want because of the history of the ownership and everything like that.
Yes.
So Belichick, obviously, huge fan of unsportsmanlike, listened to us talk about that, pulled his name out of the Chargers.
Well, think about the other job that he pulled his name out of, the New York Jets. Once Upon a Time. Why did he do it?
Messy franchise.
Leon has passed, and it was a situation where Woody Johnson was getting a team. He wanted no parts of it.
Well, but the Jets are just focused on football. I mean, if you look on the internet with Aaron Rodgers right now, it's a very he's focused on all of the different strategies and schemes from the 80s.
Yeah, he gets everything out of the building that doesn't have to do with winning football games.
That's right.
You literally can't make it up, though. You literally can't make it up.
If you don't know what we're talking about, look it up.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about it, but you can't make it up.
We're unsportsmanlike.
Is this your king, Jets fans? Is Rodgers your king?
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Tim Brown is a Hall of Famer. Raider. He is in Dallas as part of the PGA Tour Champions event with Charles Schwab Cup from today until April 21st. 40 celebs that are out there, and Tim is one of them, and he joins us now here on Unsportsmanlike. So in this spot, do you play with other celebs? Do you play with everyday people? Like, who are you golfing with at this point, Tim Brown?
No, we well, on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we'll be paired with the senior pros. Mm-hmm. So today and tomorrow, of course, is the celebrity the pro-ams. So we'll be playing with regular people.
So wait, I got to ask a follow-up on that. Yeah. All right, just between us, not the national audience on TV and radio listening. Are you better than any of the guys on the Champions Tour, on the senior tour there?
Oh, absolutely not. No, those guys, I mean, their ability to putt on these greens, you know, these greens are probably going to be, you know, 13 and a half. So, I mean, their ability to putt, man, shoot. Sometimes you may outdrive them, but other than that, you know, their short game and their putting game is for real.
Tim, we're a little over a week away from the NFL draft. Your Raiders are sitting there with the 13th overall pick. In the dream scenario for the Raiders legend, I got to ask you, what would you want your Raiders to do with the first round pick on Thursday night when the draft kicks off?
Oh, man, you know, that's tough, right? You know, of course, everybody talks about quarterback, and, you know, you think, you know, Gordon Minshew can come in and certainly play a little bit. He's shown that he can, you know, play, you know, steady football. Aiden is still growing in the league. But, man, if you can get a young quarterback, that would be awesome. But I don't think there's going to be one available at that you know, stage when the Raiders are taking a pick. So, look, if all else fails, go get a great offensive lineman, right?
Yeah, you know, there you go.
You can't lose with that.
No doubt, Tim. Well, as a Hall of Fame wide receiver, I want to ask you about Marvin Harrison Jr., who many people believe is one of the most sure things in this draft. As you've seen him play, how good do you think he can be at the NFL level?
Well, you know, I think, you know, when you watch how he dominated, you know, throughout his career, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, exactly, you know, what he chooses to do with his career at the next level. You know, I mean, you know, I think at this particular point, you know, these guys really just have to make a mental decision that they're going to go out and be the dominant player that they can be. You know, I mean, you look at Jefferson, you look at Devontae, you look at even CeeDee Lamb down here in Dallas. You know, CeeDee Lamb was having a horrible year, and all of a sudden he goes in and tells the coach, hey, I'm the man. And, you know, he ends up having an incredible last 12 games of the year, you know. So I really think these guys have the ability to do whatever they want to do on the football field. And really they just need to make it up in their minds, I'm going to be that guy week in and week out.
We're talking with Tim Brown, Hall of Famer here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Your team, the Raiders, makes Antonio Pierce the full-time coach. A lot of people, including the person Michelle and I sit next to every single day, Antonio Pierce's former teammate Chris Canty, think he's the perfect coach for the Raiders. Do you believe that? And if so, why?
Yeah, I don't think he's just a perfect coach for the Raiders, man. I think he's a perfect coach for today's NFL. You know, I think when you look at the way guys go about their, even the social media and all that kind of stuff, you know, he just seems to fall in line, man, with everything that that's happening today. I had opportunity to see him at the Super Bowl in Vegas and talk to him, and talking to him is like talking to somebody on social media, man. He has all the little quips and all that. So, but the things you have to do to relate to the kids today. And so I think it's sort of amazing to see the evolution of the NFL coach. But at the same time, I think this guy's going to be great, man, because the one thing that he does have is the respect of the players. And anytime you get guys that will respect you, they're going to go out and give you a little bit extra on the football field.
Tim, what is the key for Antonio Pierce to have a successful tenure as the Raiders head coach as you see it?
Oh, man, you know, look, everything in this league is about the quarterback, right? If your quarterback is average, then you're going to have an average, you know, season, average career as a head coach, you know. So you have to have a gunslinger back there that can get it done. I'm not saying he has to be a first-round pick and all that. But this guy just has to be the guy that week in and week out. You're not talking about what he didn't do in a game to help you win. So you get a guy like that, and man, you can win. Hey, man, look, there was no way the Kansas City Chiefs were supposed to win the Super Bowl. I didn't even think they were going to make it to the AFC Championship game. But they did, in my opinion, because of one guy, and that was the incredible quarterback that they have.
Tim, in addition to connecting with his players and them responding to him in the manner in which they did, another reason why a lot of people think that AP is such a great fit for the Raiders is because he understands the culture and the history of what the Raiders are. Do you see him bringing in kind of a rebirth of the way that so many people knew Raider Nation to be?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, the one thing he talks a lot about is, you know, hard nose, you know, grounded out type football. You know, yeah, we're going to run the ball right up there. We don't care if you guys, you know, put eight guys in a box. We're going to still try and make it happen, you know, and that's a little different from the Raider way, right? Because Al Davis was all about trying to throw the ball out the stadium as much as we could possibly do that. But at the same time, you know, I think he understands, you know, how today's football has to go. But at the same time, you know, understanding that you got to throw the ball deep, you got to be tough, and you got to show these guys, these opposing teams that you're going to run the ball no matter what they try and do to stop it. And I think that attitude, that toughness attitude, look, you're not going to win every football game, but if you play that kind of hard football, man, you're going to be right there with the chance to win football games at the end. And that's all, you know, as a fan, that's all you can ask for.
We're talking with Hall of Famer Tim Brown here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Which one of your former teams, Notre Dame or the Raiders, is closer to winning a title?
Oh, man, you know, I've been helping the University of Notre Dame, you know, with recruiting, so I'm...
Wait a minute, hold on, I got to stop you there. When you say you're helping Notre Dame with recruiting, that means money, correct?
Oh, no. I mean, I don't have enough money to give the University of Notre Dame. They don't want my money. It's more valuable for me to jump on a Zoom call with the family and all that. And,
okay.
You know, try and convince some young kid to come to the university. So, I do think ND is going to have their schedule this year is relatively light, to be honest with you. They got a big game at the end of first of the year with A&M and sort of a big game at the end of the year, I think, with Florida State. But in between, man, that should be. So, you know, two games, if they can win those two games, they should be right there, for, especially with the playoff system in place this year.
Tim, the AFC West has always been a really, really tough division for decades on end, but it just got tougher because of the additions of Sean Payton last year to the division and now Jim Harbaugh being the head coach of the Chargers. I'm just curious from your perspective, what do you think Jim Harbaugh is going to do for Justin Herbert? Because there's been a lot of conversation about how he could potentially transform Justin Herbert and actually have that translate to team success. So I'm curious to know your perspective on what you think Jim Harbaugh will do for Justin Herbert.
Well, you know, they're totally different players, but you look at McCarthy and what he did with McCarthy at Michigan, you know, I mean, this kid turned into, you know, some people talking about he can maybe be a late first-round pick, second-round pick because of, you know, the tutelage of Harbaugh, I believe. And, look, Harbaugh is a hard-nosed, working guy. He's going to do everything he could possibly do to get, you know, I mean, when you think about Justin, everybody a couple of years ago was thinking he was going to be the next, you know, John Elway or something, you know, and it really hasn't turned out for him that way, but simply because of injuries and all that, I get it. But I think Harbaugh will settle him down, man, and get him in a position to be that great quarterback. Unfortunately for my Raiders,
Tim Brown, we may have lost him there, but we wish him best of luck for the event he has this weekend, the Charles Schwab Cup, the PGA Tour Champions event going on this weekend with other celebs in Dallas. The Hall of Famer, Tim Brown, out there on the golf course with great greens. And obviously, you know you're going to have great greens. You're going to have great lawn with True Green, the beautiful lawn that you could have in your backyard, side yard, front lawn, whatever it may be. I'm somebody that hates doing lawn care. I can't do it. Come on now. That's why I use True Green. They're the official lawn treatment provider of the PGA Tour. We all know those are some nice greens. So just imagine what they could do to your lawn. All you have to do is water and mow. And to top it off, when you sign up for an annual plan by April 20th, get one application free. Visit truegreen.com and for the best lawn at the best price, guaranteed with True Green. Restrictions apply.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click, Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. No topic is off limits.
I'm going to have on pink pants, suspenders, a little bow tie, some bunny ears.
No breakdown can be questioned.
What's the big deal? No, this is a big deal.
He is America's analyst.
Let's see, kid. Let's see. Good luck.
Tim Legler.
He's here.
Gets me hyped.
Wow, there was beef yesterday. I walked by Legs in the hallway. He said, what, I'm not a twin, so you can't have me on? You were angry at us that we had the Property Brothers on yesterday? They were great.
Oh, I see who I get bumped for. That's cool. All right. See how this goes.
We tried to get Tom Legler today. Instead, we got Tim.
Watch me coming here tomorrow with a hard hat and a tool belt on. And see what happens. Now we got a segment. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What's next for the Warriors? Let's start there.
Oh, my goodness, man. It's so easy to say, oh, it's going a different direction. All right, tell me what the plan is. Obviously, the first question is Klay Thompson. How much are you going to give him? You clearly are going to offer him a contract. He's going to still make a lot of money. He's cost himself money this year. And is that going to be a number they come to him that he's palatable? Is palatable to him? Well, he says yes, and he understands he's diminished. His skills have diminished. And the last 2 years, the way his seasons have ended have been ugly for him. He was kind of a non-factor in the Lakers series last year. They bottled him up. He had a hard time escaping, creating offense. And then look at what happened last night. First time in his career he played more than 12 minutes and didn't score in a game. 900-plus games. And it just was so exposed, I think, in the fact that Steph Curry does not have enough offense generation, not only against the Kings, against all these other teams in the West that you have this year and are going to be better going forward. So that's the big question. What do you do with Klay? And for me, the more important one is, how do you go about bringing in a second, like, top-tier offensive player around Steph Curry, the way your salary structure is situated and the assets you would get back if you did want to try to make a move? Now, I don't think they pick up Chris Paul's option. I mean, that'd be ridiculous if they did that.
I don't think it's ridiculous, because if you can trade him, but then you got to add the salary cap. The luxury tax, excuse me.
So based on the way Chris Paul played for them, and last night, like, completely non-factor. You didn't notice Chris Paul was on the floor last night, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. Is somebody going to be willing to take him because it's an expiring contract at that point? Or do you think somebody still would look at Chris Paul at 30-something plus million dollars a year as a guy that's like a key cog on a championship caliber team?
No,
I'm not sure.
No, he'd, I'm not he'd, saying he'd, that.
That's why I think that would be harder to do than you think. They can't just let him walk. They got to figure out something to do with him. You know, one thing real quick, people haven't talked about as much. Andrew Wiggins is a big part of this. He was their second best player when they won that title in that series and throughout that playoff run. And it feels like that's where it kind of capped for him.
Yeah.
Right? He had some off-the-court issues, we know, but he came back and he's been available to them. But his offensive production is nothing like it was. Is that going to be permanent now? He's still in his prime. Like, why is that? Why is that we accept 13 points a game out of him when he's like 19 in the finals? So that's a big question mark. Can he get back to that guy that they thought he was going to be? That'll answer some of this. The bottom line is, though, I don't see, unfortunately, Steph Curry being on a team that's going to make a deep Western Conference run again because of what's out there. And all of those teams are going to get better.
So assuming that they do bring Klay Thompson back, is Steph going to be satisfied with where this franchise is right now? I mean, two of the last 4 years outside looking into the postseason.
It's a lot of winning, man. Is it enough? You know what I mean? Is it enough? Look, I got three Super Bowls with the Commanders in the 80s and 90s. I still feel like I got a full stomach.
You got
I got a full stomach.
Come on, Legs. Now.
I know.
When you win championships at that level, when you have the standard that they've established for the last decade and a half, it's about winning championships.
I'm making light of it, obviously.
Jay Schrader over here.
But Steph is a unique guy in that, and he said it last night. It's inconceivable to him to think about proceeding forward without Klay Thompson and Draymond Green next to him. Right, it's inconceivable to think about. And if that's part of like what it's about for you, not just what we're able to do, but who I'm doing it with, and that's important to him as well, then there may be some part of Steph Curry's mind that kind of understands, like, we're not going to contend again. Because how else do you do it unless you jettison off some of these veteran parts and bring in younger talent around him to keep him relevant in the Western Conference? Because they're not going to be able to do it. Because Kuminga took a leap forward this year. He's not going to be a star in this league. Pajemski is a nice rookie. Trayce Jackson-Davis, these are nice pieces. None of those guys, I don't think, have the ceiling of being a legitimate perennial all-star next to Steph Curry to give you a chance to contend in the Western Conference.
Tim, let's stay with inconceivable. Giannis isn't going to be with the Bucks early in the playoffs. If they have an early exit, is it conceivable to think that Giannis could ask out if they're bounced early?
Yeah, I mean, everybody that kind of seems to know where his mind is at thinks that's possible. So I don't – there's only a few guys in this league that I think, like, they have wrapped their head around being in one place their whole career. It's very rare. Going forward, it'll be even more rare. We might not ever see it. Who knows? But there are a few guys currently that I could see it happening. Like, I could see Jokic being at Denver his whole career, being perfectly happy, no matter how it ends for him there. Giannis, I don't know. I don't know. I think Giannis is a guy that thinks, no, wait, I got more winning to do. I got more. I averaged 31 points a game this year. Like, I'm still in that realm. If they lose in the first round, I think they're going to have to really kind of look at Damian Lillard. Clearly, he's got some stuff going on off the court. Wasn't happy there this year. I don't think he wanted to be there in the first place. Is that temporary thing? He's going to be able to get his mind wrapped around it next year to give them a legitimate chance. I think that's something that Giannis has to look at this summer and then rebuild some of their fringe pieces that they thought were good enough going forward. But no, to answer your question, it's not out of the realm of possibility that Giannis looks elsewhere. No, I don't think it's crazy, but I can't get inside his mind. I just think the way the modern NBA player is, they're always looking around.
We're talking with America's analyst Tim Legler here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Do the Lakers have a shot against Denver?
They have a shot. I think people that act like this is just a foregone conclusion completely dismiss them. It's silly. Lakers.
CC's a Lakers fan and thinks five games.
I mean, I don't think it's five. Well, look, maybe five. But look, it could be a five-game series and be highly competitive.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it can.
It was a competitive four-game sweep in the conference finals.
Listen, I'm not saying the Lakers aren't beating them. But I'm saying I think people act like, you know, why play the series? I mean, it's still the Lakers. It's still LeBron, AD. And actually, one thing that bodes well for them, and they showed it again last night, this is one of the best closing teams in the league. Despite where they ended up in the regular season, they make plays at the end of games that win, and they did it again last night. They make the key plays. Pelicans make mistakes mentally at the end of the game. And Zion's injury is a big part of it.
Zion got hurt.
It was a big part of it. But after that, you got a tie game, and they have a couple really big-time decisions that are the wrong ones in the moment that the Lakers capitalized on. I think it's going to be a competitive series. Are they going to win the series? No. Could that go six games? Would not be shocked. But no. Are they going to take them the distance? Look, man, you get a six-game series, that means there's a lot of meaningful possessions in the fourth quarter. I think that's what this series is going to give us. This isn't going to be 15- and 20-point beatdowns like that, like some people are intimating. It's just not. The Lakers are playing pretty good basketball coming into this series. They just don't quite have enough to be able to affect Jokic, but who does?
Tim, looking at the other side of the bracket in the West, if the Sacramento Kings are able to advance past the Pelicans into the actual playoffs, they got the Oklahoma City Thunder. Do they have a chance at upsetting the Thunder?
I wouldn't. That'd be a good series. I think that'd be a long series. And the way the Kings played last night was impressive. One of the things that stood out to me was that was probably the most physical game I've watched all year in terms of stuff that wasn't called. Yeah. Like all year long, I'm seeing whistles on the stuff I was watching last night. No whistles. That absolutely worked against the Warriors. And so if the Kings play with that level of energy, they get that kind of production at Keegan Murray, Keon Ellis was great last night. If they get that, absolutely they can give the Oklahoma City Thunder a long series. But look, OKC's a one seed for a reason, and they've got incredible continuity and great health, and the Kings are still shorthanded. They got by last night with that, without Monk and Herter. That's going to be a much more difficult proposition against a team that's as good as Oklahoma City.
Tim, as America's analyst, we have about 30 seconds here. I have to ask you the question of the day. How many sprays of cologne do you use, and where do you spray the cologne?
Oh, that's a great question. So before, when I get dressed, typically I'll put my shirt on, my slacks, my shoes, and then I'll get a little spritz, probably one on each side toward my neck area. Then a jacket will go on, and I'll hit the lapel on each side. Mm. And then maybe as I walk out, one waft, and then just sort of walk through it.
You let it lay on you.
Let it radiate.
Let it radiate down. There you go.
All right, so then we have to tell you why this has become a thing.
All right.
Michelle has said you're supposed to spray the back of your knees.
The back of your knees.
Yeah, that's the reaction that we had.
It's a heat zone, Tim.
If you're hanging out with really short women, I guess, would be the only reason I would do something like that. I don't know why else you do behind your knees.
Back of the knees.
I played with a guy in high school in baseball who used to put his deodorant on his backside. That's all I'm going to say.
That's Tom Legler who said that, not Tim.
There you go.
Property brother.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.